Before our scripture this morning, we invite your attention to the gospel according to Mark, the 7th chapter. We would like to begin reading with verse number 24. Mark's gospel, 7th chapter, beginning with the 24th verse. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 7, verse 24. These words are recorded. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." And she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." For he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." Amen. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed.
Amen. Amen.
We read for your hearing from Mark's Gospel, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 30. May the Lord continue to be a blessing through his mighty word. Amen. For a subject, it's all about humility. It's all about humility. You see, I've read this passage from Mark many times, and each time I keep coming back to the words, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." But you see, that's the least of it because of the preceding verse. Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. You see, this shows Jesus in a very bad light for rejecting Gentiles. You see, why would he speak to this woman in this way? Well, to get a better understanding, look at the climate at that time in history. You see, Jews generally referred to Gentiles as dogs. See, the Gentiles were not the chosen people. They were considered generally unclean simply because they didn't have the washing rituals that was common among the Jews. Their dietary habits were looked down upon. They ate bacon. Bacon, can you even imagine it? They were considered to be dogs because they ate bacon. So to a Jew, all Gentiles were dogs, plain and simple. But in this meeting, Jesus cut through it all. However, he didn't do it without pushback from the woman. See, the woman admitted that the wisdom of Jesus and power of his exceed the wisdom and knowledge of humans. And she understood that he alone could set her daughter free. And then she fell at his feet and she begged for his mercy. Her reply was a statement of faith. You see, the Bible says that the news about Jesus spread like wildfire because of the miracles that he had performed, as well as his messages. Hopefully, there was someone who witnessed to this woman about Jesus and everything that he had already done. And I believe that she was aware of the custom that Jews did not associate themselves with Gentiles because it made them ceremoniously unclean, which is why I believe that she came to meet Jesus while he was alone. Yeah, you see, when Jesus said it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs, he was actually testing how genuine her faith was. You see, he was pleased at her reply so much that you know that he granted her her wish. But you see, from the woman's standpoint, it was all about humility. You see, humility comes in many shapes and sizes, and in this gospel, the humility was immediate. The woman had to have some level of humility just to go to Jesus to begin with. And in return, that humility was recognized by the woman's point, and then Jesus acted upon it. You see, humility comes from the Latin word for humus, which means of the earth. Now, coincidentally, Adam also means the same thing, of the earth. So it would follow that to be truly human is to have true humility. Humility and us, we are the same origin. So what does humility really mean? Well, we get the word humble from humility. The word humble comes from humble, U-M-B-L-E, as in humble pie. You see, there's a lot of parables between this humble and the world around us. You see, when you think of humble, it's also considered to be the worst part of the pig. You remember that part that people used to throw away? Never walked near it, didn't see it in the butcher shop, until we found out that some people weren't too proud to take that part, wash it, clean it, put it in the pot and boil it, throw a few things in there with it. Nowadays, you call it Chicago wrinkles, and you got all kind of names for it. Chitterlings, y'all, for some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. If it wasn't for the aroma, you'd have had that just a couple of weeks ago instead of those trotters that was on the plate. You see, the part in it was these parts, they still serve their purpose. Without them, the pig would not survive. They had their place in the areas. Without them, the good parts that you look at with the bacon would not have survived. But you see, these parts became transparent after a while if you don't pay attention to them. The poor people would go and they would get these parts and then they would make food out of them. They would eat it. They had humility, whereas many of their brothers and sisters did not. The humble parts were beneath those other type folks. These are the folks, when you put it into reality, they're stuck on themselves. And they take the best seats at the table. They invite only their friends and their brothers and their relatives and their neighbors within their personal circles. Never the poor, never the lame, never the crippled, nor the blind, never the outcast. Those who are outside of their inner circles, they are the uncomfortable ones in their midst. You see, the Jews of that day would never have invited a Gentile to eat with them because a part of the community with them. It wouldn't have been out, it would have been outside the normal custom for Jews to sit down at the table with Gentiles. But we are today called to invite these very same people inside of our protected so-called circles. We're called to eat with them. We're called to be around them, to be one of them. And they are our church, our calling. But we understand it's a challenge, and people are challenging. They don't always do what you expect of them, and sometimes they can become very undependable. But we can't really trust what some folks will do next. But Jesus shows us what humility is. You see, he reasons with the woman. He allows her logic and pleas to shine through the rejections of the Jews. He looks at her in a light that says that she is a person worthy of grace and mercy. Not what the Jews had already decided that she was not. The Jews thought that she was not worthy to have her troubles taken care of. They thought she was not worthy to be even listened to. However, her reply was a statement of persistency. Instead of feeling embarrassed and going back home after what appeared to be a seemingly rude saying by Jesus, she insisted that the Lord drive the demon away from her daughter. You see, persistency is an indispensable quality of prayer that God answers. Jesus stressed this truth in two of his teachings, in the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18:1-8, the guest in the midnight in Luke 11:5-8, and his teachings on prayer in Luke 11:9-10. But let me say, though, allow me to warn you, persistency cannot be used to limit God into the frame of our own thinking. You know, if I asked him enough, he's going to say yes. You see, there are times that God's answer is simply no. And that's because he has a greater purpose, and he grants us grace to move on with life. You see, she may not have known that she would have had a chance at this redemptive action by the one who could give her, but her pride, she set it aside. And her humility was brought forth to ask for help on behalf of her child. You see, Jesus sets aside his restraint and he extends his hand to hers and grants her her wish to drive out the devil of her daughter. You see, Jesus just wanted, when he came to this town, just a little peace and quiet. And he was looking for rest by even coming to the Gentile territory. He didn't need the intrusion. He wasn't looking for the request. What he got instead was a new group of people, not the Jews, But the Gentiles that already knew of him, they heard about him, they listened to the miracles, they listened to his message, and they believed that he could help them too. So here they are reaching out to them or to him also, and they wanted him to extend his hand to them too. You see, I wonder if we all might need a little of that assistance in our own lives to help us overcome our pride that keeps us from reaching across to others. Keep us from inviting others into our fellowship. Keep us from making this building, this edifice, the beacon of light that it is. It may be that our lives are lived out by our own expectations. You know, we generally wake up every day expecting that what came before will probably be what lies ahead. In other words, if it was a boring day yesterday, I think we're going to have a boring day today. But we ought to put aside our pride and look forward to know that God is still in the blessing business. And there's no mountain too high to climb, no valley too low to get across if we just trust in the Lord. You see, our own sense of self generally takes over. And then we tend to walk by, drive by, and pass by those that are reaching out to us in ways that are not readily visible, not easy to see unless you're looking for it. When you leave home in the morning, are you looking to be a blessing for God? Is that your desire? Lord, what are you going to use me for today? Whose life are you going to insert me into in order that you might be blessed and you might be lifted up? You see, it is in the little things and the things that people say that will cause us to turn back and be a blessing unto them. The hesitant exit that people might make after they make a comment to you and they sort of hesitate and don't really want to leave your presence and they're sort of waiting to hear something from the Lord through you, but we're so busy about being about our business than about the Lord's business. Our lives are spent in our own sense of worth rather than in the humility of the one who gave us our very own grace and mercy. It's because of this woman that we are here today asking Jesus to come back into our lives. I know everybody didn't come in here this morning believing that everything was all right. Did everything perfect this past week? Even this morning, I got up and did everything that God would have me to do. But we come in here realizing that we have sinned. And we're asking God to cleanse us. Break down the door of those barriers in our lives. And asking him to walk with us. Lead us and comfort us as we put our own sense of pride away. And carry on his mission in order that we might tell the world about the saving grace that is he and he alone. Jesus said to the woman, because you said this, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. The truth is the words we speak in times of crisis exposes the level of our faith. Humility and persistency should be a part of your faith. Our words affect our reactions to all of our situations. It's important that we speak the right words because they become the outcome of our prayers. Look at Job's wife. Her example. She told Job, curse God and die. Absolutely no faith, no humility, no persistency in her words. And I'm sure that she's not the kind of a person God wants us to be. But consider Job's, his humility. Should we receive what is good from God and not only receive what is evil? He said, as for me, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He was talking words of persistency. In all this, Job did not sin, nor did he charge God with any impropriety. We in humility need to reach out to all we find that are not where God would have us to be. But most of all, our humility should lead us to the cross. It should lead us to Calvary. Lead us to the one who suffered and died there. We need to reach out in humility so that we can hear what Calvary says to us. And we know full well what Calvary does for us. Calvary breaks down the middle wall of partition between the soul as well as the Savior. There should be no compromise, no substitute for that one transaction of Calvary that satisfied all the claims against humankind. By his suffering on that cross, with nails in his hands and a spike in his feet, thorns on his head, a hole in his side from a spear, breath left his body where he died, was taken down and laid in a borrowed tomb. But early that Sunday morning, my Jesus and your Jesus got up from the grave. That transaction on Calvary paid our whole debt. And it was from Emmanuel's vein that enough blood was drawn to give the needed transfusions for each of us. And from the eternal Son of God, it was sufficient and abundant stream that gushed forth for all the weary sons of men. And it was he who opened a fountain, not only in the house of David, but in every shed and in every place. We can join with others in singing with hope of that fountain, the cleansing fountain, the flowing fountain, the full fountain. I remember what the songwriter said, that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. I don't know about you, but I believe that the songwriter knew something about me, knowing that I needed a transfusion, knowing that I needed somebody to come into my old wretched life and my lifestyle and turn me around and lift me up out of the muck and mire of sin. I had to turn around and move away from pride, move away from self, and in my humility, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ and allow him to come in and save me. And from that moment, through humility, I'm striving to get where he would have me to be able to enter in to that kingdom. The Syrophoenician woman set the example. It wasn't about the crumbs under the table. It was about the humility that she came to Jesus with. And through that humility, God blessed her. And he blessed us by dying, being buried, and rose again from the dead. And in your humbleness, you should receive him into your life as Savior and permit him to become Lord in all that you are. It's all about humility. May God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.